stuff that happens. I said, I spilled water on my pants. But anyhow, so I'm so happy that you all are here. Will you go ahead and stand? I'm going to get right into the word. It is my honor and my privilege to be here today with you. I really don't take it for granted. I have been in the family, not the remnant family, but I have been in the family for, I was thinking about last night, for 26 years. I have been in the family, so that's longer than all of y'all have been here. So I was there when y'all were born. And so call me Mr. Mario. But anyhow, 26 years, I was, I think, 16 to 17 when I met them. And for some reason, they haven't let go of me yet. So I'm so grateful. I'm spilling water in my pants and everything. And I'm so happy to see my Growth Point family. We are virtual right now because we are in between buildings. But they told me last time I preached somewhere that they would rather be in person anywhere than watching a screen. So I appreciate them. So will you clap your hands for our church, Growth Point? I really appreciate you. And of course, my family, my wife and Miles are both here, and we appreciate them as well. They came from our house, and they didn't bring the dog, so everybody's here, so we appreciate it. So I'm going to go right into happy 14th anniversary. Happy 14 years. 14 years. I'm going to stick with the theme that they have. I don't always preach the theme that someone has, but I want to know it because it does speak to what they are leaning into and what the Lord is saying. So I want to go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and verse 48. 1 Samuel 17 chapter. If you don't have it, I'm sure it's going to be on the screens. But if you do, even if you have a phone, I just go ahead and just type that in. 1 Samuel 17 chapter and verse 48. I'm going to be reading at the English Standard Version. But if you're King James or no James, read whatever version works for you. But it says this. It says, when the Philistine arose and came, and now mind you, I'm picking up in the middle of a story. So I'm going to back it up in a minute for those of you who I don't ever assume that everybody knows the story. But it says, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag. Some of y'all need to get a bag. See, David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. Someone say forehead.
Forehead.
Say it again, forehead.
Forehead.
The stone sank into his forehead. Someone say forehead.
Forehead.
And he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him, or Philistine, whatever you want to say. There was no sword. Someone say no sword.
No sword.
There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head. Someone say head.
Yeah.
With it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Sharon as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. Last verse. And David took the head. Someone say the head.
Yeah.
Of the Philistine, and he brought it to Jerusalem. And he put his armor in his tent. Now, I know I read a lot. That's probably some of y'all's reading for the last week. So I read a lot. But I want to talk today from the topic of get ahead of it. Get ahead of it. Will you look at someone and say, get ahead of it. You are glorified in this place, and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start because I understand that some of you might not be familiar with this story. I do believe that it is a familiar story for those of us who might have grown up in. I'm a little older than some of you, so I grew up in a place called Sunday school. So we used to do lessons and things that we would learn these type of Bible stories. But some of you might not have been familiar with this story, and it's very important that I give you the background as we relate to this. And we look at this story, and we find that how this particular one came to pass is that the prophet Samuel had allowed the people to choose a king. The people wanted a king because they were not just happy with what we call theocracy. Theocracy meaning a nation that is under God. We as the United or Divided States of America say that we are one nation under God, but our actions deem otherwise. But in this particular time, it says that they were looking for a king other than God. You are in danger mode when you're not satisfied with the rulership of God alone, and you need someone else to govern your life when God is supposed to be the head of our life. When I was growing up, we used to have testimony service, and we would say, first giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Many of us don't even say that anymore because he is the shoulder of our life, or he is the co-pilot of our life, or he is the foot of my life. He is not the head, meaning he is not the one guiding, directing, and leading us anymore. How do you know that? Because we shout better than we live. We shout, we dance, we sing, we attend service, but if he's the head of your life, there should be something shifting in your life. I cannot move any direction unless my head goes that direction. I cannot walk unless my head goes in that direction. And some of you have decapitated God, and you are walking around with a headless life with no God, but walking around with a body and no head. You got to make sure that you have God as the head of your life. Someone say, he's the head of my life. So he goes on, and they look for a king, and they find a king, and that king, they find him Saul. They put Saul in position, and after they put Saul in position, Saul did good. Saul looked the part, and Saul became king because he looked the part. The people's choice, in other words. There should be a show a long time ago called The People's Choice, and the people had chosen and selected. Didn't say God selected. God allowed it. Is there any decisions that are going on in your life right now that God didn't select, but he allowed? There's a difference in the choices that God has selected and the choices that God allows. Could be some of the things that you are going through in your life is not because of God. It's because he allowed you to make that choice. And if he allows you to make that choice, and you're going to have to produce everything that comes with that choice. So if you're not going to sleep at night, it's probably because you made a choice that God allowed, but he did not sanction. Could you be in danger zone because of the choices that you made that you're blaming somebody else on, but it's really you? It has nothing to do with God. But if you're headless and you're making choices on your own, you are in danger zone. So we went on, and it says that they chose Saul, and they chose him, and he did good until he didn't. Followed instructions, and the instruction came from the prophet. He said, hey, I want you to go into the area of King Ahab. And when you go into this area, he says, I want you to kill everything. Someone say everything. I want you to kill everything that you see. But the Bible says that he got to the place and he saw the good things. And he killed the bad things, but kept the good things. He didn't want to destroy everything. And so the prophet came back and heard wind of it. And he said to Samuel, did you do everything that I told you to do? He said, I did. He said, why is it that I hear sheep bleeding in the background? You do know that you can fool some people some of the time, but you can fool God none of the time. So it says that they came here, and he says, I hear sheep bleeding in the background. And what did Saul do? Thank you for asking me. Saul blamed the people. That's why you have to be careful when people put you in position. Because sometimes you'll turn around and turn on the people who put you in position. So he turned and he said, the people wanted the best things. The people wanted this. He said, so I did it for the people. You know, we used to say do it for the vine. Sometimes we do it for the people. They did it for the people. And because of that, he did not obey God completely. And the prophet said to him, he said, for obedience is better than sacrifice. Hear this. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Could you be the witch in your life? Were you rebuking a witch that is you? Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So if you're operating in disobedience, could you have brought a curse upon yourself that could be corrected and lifted through obedience? I won't be here next week. Y'all gonna just suffer through about 30 more minutes. I'll be done. Could you be operating in a bad spirit just because you're not obeying? I don't know why my anxiety is like this. Could it be disobedience? I don't know why I can't focus. Could it be disobedience? could you be one miracle away just by obeying? Don't look at nobody. Look at yourself. Say, you got to get that together. Don't look at nobody because somebody might fight you. Just look at yourself. I got to work on that. So he went on, and then after that, the prophet Samuel said to him, he said, you know, I got to move on. He said, because God has raised up somebody after my heart. And Saul grabbed his robe, grabbed his cloak, and a piece of it tore from him. And Samuel, the prophet, looked at Saul, and he said, this day the kingdom has been removed from you. Now, this is very important, that even though the anointing lifted off of him, he still stayed in position. He stayed in position, no anointing, but still stayed there. That's why you have to be very careful of getting caught up in people's gifts. Just because you're in position don't mean nothing. Anything's on you. But in this day and time, we are YouTube ready, and we just watch everything. Am I in the right church today? Because the way y'all looking at me, like y'all want to fight me. But I'm telling you, when it looks at it, a lot of times you will look, and it's going to pick it up later on. It says, he said he stayed in position so much so that he stayed in position, still trying to operate as he was, but he could not operate as he was before, even though he stayed in position. So much so, the Bible says that a distressing spirit came upon him, and he needed someone to get that spirit off of him. And the Bible says that the people said, I know someone named David. Who's he? Bring him to this place. David got exposure of a place before he operated in the place. David got exposure of a place before he was in the place. It says that David came into the place that he wasn't even, he didn't even know that, he didn't even know he was supposed to dream of that place, but he was brought into the place. I'm going to preach now. Is there a possibility that there are some things that you are being exposed to because you don't even know you're supposed to ask for it? Are there some things that you are being exposed to? Harabasha. Are there some things that you are being exposed to and brought into the room for because you never knew that you could ask for it, that you never knew that you deserved it, you never knew you could have it, you never knew that you could be it, you never knew you could dream it, never knew that you could step into it? And could it be that a problem brought you in the room because you didn't even know you was the answer? Put your hands on yourself and say, I am the answer. Didn't even know it till they brought me in the room. I didn't even know I could be it until I got exposed to it. I didn't even know I could overcome it until I looked back and said, I survived it. I didn't know I could be healed from it until all of a sudden I looked at that thing and I said, I didn't die from it. Somebody say, I am the answer. He came into the room, didn't even know he was supposed to be there, but a problem ushered him in. I want to tell you, you're getting ready to walk in the room, and you're getting ready to be somebody's answer. You're getting ready to walk into your job tomorrow, and all of a sudden they say, I don't know why you deserve this promotion, but there's something about you. I dreamed about you last night. You say, God put you on my mind. Somebody say, I am the answer. High five somebody, say, I'm the answer, I'm the answer, I'm the answer. Don't you dare sleep on me. Don't you dare sleep on me. You going through something, I'm going to answer. You going to need somebody to pray for you eventually. Talk about me all you want. Talk about what I'm driving. Talk about what I'm wearing. Talk about what I don't have. But sooner or later, you're going to look at me and say, I'm so glad you prayed. I'm so glad you live holy. Because when I went through something, I needed somebody that couldn't counsel a devil but could cast the devil out. And I needed you. You are the answer.
So,
David came in there. David came in there. Didn't ask to be in there, but came in there. There are some of you that are trying to manipulate your way into rooms that God's going to bring you into. There's some of you that are trying to take selfish with people that God's going to bring you in front of. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pay anything. You don't have to sleep with nobody. You don't have to pay your way in. All you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You stay in line long enough. You be faithful long enough. And God will bring it to pass soon enough. Tell somebody it's going to come to pass. I'm just going to stand here until it comes to pass. Somebody give God praise. Praise in the room. So went there, came into the room. All David did, Josh, all David did was played. Never said anything. He just played. Some of you talk too much. All you got to do is serve. Some of you trying to prove yourself to people. All you need to do is be who you are. Some of you trying to show people who you are and post different things on social media. Sometimes you need to be quiet and just play your harp. Just do what God assigned you to do. Tell somebody, just be who you are. Just be who you are. If God wanted somebody else, he would have called somebody else. But the reason you're in the room is because God wants you there. Pick up your head. Stop getting in rooms and saying, I don't deserve to be here. If God didn't want you to be there, you wouldn't be there. But if you're here, tell somebody, I deserve to be here. I ain't arrogant. I'm just confident that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. You don't have to like it. God called me. You don't have to want me. God called me. You don't think I'm qualified. He thought I was. That's why I survived. That's why I'm not a statistic, because I'm supposed to be here. In the room. This is just an introduction. I ain't got through it yet. God in the room. Come on, Hamilton, Portia. I got to be in the room where it happened. Played my heart. And as I did my part, what was on Saul lifted from him. Because he didn't know what I had. But I knew what I had. And all I had to do was be in the room. You give me an opportunity, or I'll show up. I don't have to get ready. I stay ready. So when the door opens, I ain't got to look for nothing to preach. Y'all notice I ain't looking for no notes. I ain't looking at my iPad, because I stay ready. What's ever in me comes out of me eventually. But if it ain't nothing in me, can't nothing come out of me. And there's some of y'all mad at people. You ain't mad at them. You mad at you, because you didn't prepare. But if you prepare, when it's time for you to show up, whatever's in you is going to come out of you. Someone say, be prepared. So got in the room, played, and that spirit lifted off of him. He left. David left and went on. Bible says it doesn't mention David anymore until around the 16th chapter, when that prophet is now looking around and he says, Lord, there's got to be somebody that can fill this role. There's got to be somebody that God can use. There's got to be somebody that the oil can flow on. There's got to be somebody who's not contaminated. There's got to be somebody who's not just trying to open churches because it's a good business move. There's got to be somebody who actually cares for people. There's got to be somebody in these last and evil days who actually does pray right and actually does believe in things and actually does care for people. It's got to be somebody who is more servant than they are title. There's got to be somebody. I don't know who it is, but there's somebody. Look at somebody and say, I'm looking for somebody. I'm just looking for somebody. There is somebody. I don't know who it is, but I'm going to find them. The Bible says that he went to a man by the name of Jesse. He got to the name of the man named Jesse's house, and he got to his house, Kelly, and when he got to his house, he said, is there anybody here that I can anoint? Is there anybody here that I can put the oil on? Is there anybody here? I want to stop here parenthetically for a cause. Is your house worthy of oil? Is oil trusted at your address? Can the Holy Spirit reside at your place? I know he's here, but does it go to you with you at home? Got to the house. Don't get quiet. Y'all shout like you did a few minutes ago. Got to the house. He says, is there anybody? And Jesse did what we do. Put up all the people who had been trained in church. He put up all the people who knew how to speak in tongues on cue. He put up all the people who knew how to have lap scarves on there, knew what to do, knew church. They knew church, knew exactly. Don't y'all get quiet. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about the person behind you. Knew exactly what to do, knew exactly how to do church, knew how to exactly how to quicken on cue, knew exactly what to do, knew what to do, knew how to look like a preacher, whatever that means, knew how to do all that type of stuff. And he says, let me bring him before you. And Samuel, because he sometimes, as a priest, don't miss this, as a priest, sometimes you can be fleshly too. It's a danger when you start putting your pastor in a place they don't deserve to be. You walk around going, my pastor said, sometimes we miss it. Don't y'all get quiet on this anniversary. Sometimes we miss it because we too are human beings. So Samuel had on the garments, but he didn't have on discernment that day. So he looked and he said, oh, he looks the part. And God had to check him and said, sir, remember, I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. You can fool people with what you do on the outside, but God's not looking at how anointed you might be to us. You might be annoying to heaven. They are so anointed. God said, where? I ain't said that. You are so deceived by Sunday Best, by Bobby Jones, and by every church streaming platform you watch, that some of us wouldn't know the anointing if it sat right beside us. Because some anointing is quiet. Anointing is not volume. Anointing is a representative of crushing. And sometimes crushing is not nice. Sometimes crushing is not pretty. Sometimes crushing will humble you to the point that you used to be haughty, but now you are quiet and docile because you've been crushed. But if you ain't never been crushed, you will be loud. But when you are crushed, you'll be like, it is only the Lord. It is only the Lord that has allowed me to do what I do. That's why she said earlier, I don't take no credit. I can't, because I've been crushed too much to take credit. I've gone through too much for me to think that it's about me. I have learned how to preach with 3 people. 30 people, 300 people, 3,000 people. I preach when people clap, preach when people look at me crazy, because I've learned the art of being crushed. The more crushed I am, the more I can flow. No crushing, no flow. More crushing, more flow. If you want to have a good flowing anointing, have a great crushing. Everybody wants to get up here with a great story. But you ain't have no great story if you ain't had a great glory. If you ain't had a great crushing place. Look at someone say, crush, crush, crush. Got there. I'm over time. He got there and he said, can I find anybody? Brought this guy, Abinadab, brought him. He looked the part. Brought another son named Shammah. He looked the part. Brought up all these different sons. Got to the point that he said to Jesse, he said, I want to leave this house, but I feel pulled. I feel like there's something else. He said, I feel like there's something else that you're not telling me. Uh-huh. What else is here? Uh-huh. Do you know some of y'all are the what else? Yes. Don't you ever feel bad for being looked over? Because you might be the what else. Samuel said, is there anything else? He said, well, there is somebody. I mean, but he's like out there with the sheep. I mean, he's out there. He smells like what he's in. I mean, he's out there with sheep. I mean, all he is a servant. He said, bring him. Smelling like he smells, but bring him. Isn't it sad when your old father looks over you? Have you ever been looked over by your own family? Where they bring everybody else up and forget your name? He didn't even say David. He said, there is someone. He didn't even say his name. He said, someone. He said, bring him. And when he brought him before him, Samuel said, rise. This is the one. And the oil started to flow him. Isn't it the second time David got called to a room that he wasn't already in? Ain't this the second time over time you will look back over your life and see how many times God's been calling you? Over time, you will look through your life and say, oh, he's been calling me for a long time before I finally surrendered to it, before I finally identified it. God called him to the room again. He got to the room. He said, rise, this is the one, this is the anointed one. And the oil flowed on him. That's why David wrote later on, he anoints me in the presence of my enemies. Sometimes, I'm so sorry, I know y'all don't have these different types of situations, but sometimes family can also be enemies. Not that you're fighting against them. They just don't recognize what's in you. Anybody who is an enemy with God is an enemy with you. Don't y'all get quiet. I'm leaving here. I promise you I'll go back to Growth Point as soon as they let me go. Promise you. Y'all can go back next Sunday and be like, I'm so glad he's gone. So it went on and the oil flowed on him. And it says, and David left, went back to doing what he was doing, went back to serving. He didn't walk around saying, let me tell y'all how oily I am. He didn't walk around talking about how oil, look at this oil. My hands are hot. Come here, let me show you my oil. It drips off of me. I'm dripping. He didn't do any of that type of stuff immediately. He went back to serving. You really understand that you know your purpose when you go back to as you were. There are a whole lot of people who get prophetic words and want to tell everybody about the prophetic word they got. Everybody, let me tell you who I met. Let me tell you what they told me. Some things you need to be quiet, Joseph. It's not that people don't like you. You talk too much. You say too much. Some things have to, what Mary says, she pondered it in her heart. She kept it to herself. Some things keep to yourself. Will you do me a favor? They ain't gonna fight you. I'm in front of you. Tell somebody, keep it to yourself. Keep some things to yourself. David went back to serving. Later on, we find in a few of the chapter next, that there rose up, I'm writing the Bible, there rose up a opposition. Opposition rose up, and it says that the other brothers went to fight. David stayed home because he was a servant. David stayed home. God have mercy. I feel like I'm preaching the longest message that's trying to go somewhere. He went there, and he said, I ain't preached in front of people in a long time, so I'm getting it out. So it is... You know, I preach to chairs and to the shower, but they don't get saved. But here I am preaching to real human beings, my God, and ain't none of y'all AI. Mm. So here it is. We got there. Got there, and they were out there supposed to be fighting. But instead of them fighting, they're scared. Because someone named Goliath is on the opposite side. And on the opposite side, he is taunting them and making fun of them. So they have the armor on, but they're not fighting.
Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
I have never seen so many weak soldiers. Who have on armor that they don't use. In the army, but scared of what you train to fight. You never put armor on unless you've been trained in how to wear it. And you never get weapons unless you've gone through basic training. Some of you have gone through the basic training of hard knocks in your life. And as soon as the appearance of opposition comes, you come crawling back to your pastor. Pray for me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You used to knock people out for a living. You used to slap people and ask questions later. You used to cuss people out before you start speaking in tongues. You used to drop you used to drop people all the time. And now you want to be weak because you are saved and because you're in church. You better get scruffy with it. You better be ratchet. The same person you was, the outward appearance didn't change. He just changed your heart. You got to learn how to fight the same way, just differently. Everybody, pray for me. I'm going through. Oh, Pastor,
When we going back in church, I can't do virtual. I don't know what to do. It's like I just don't understand. But you can stream Netflix, but you can't pray. Oh, I'm going through so much, I don't know what to do. I think my medication needs to change. You want to have medication, but you don't fast. I'm going through so much, and I don't know what to do. My family's falling apart. I'm falling apart. My money's falling apart. I'm from my mind. I can't even get it together. You welcome Ouija's, and you welcome all these different things in your house, and sage, and all this stuff, and you wonder, if it's me you need, it's you you need. You need to get back on your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've welcomed them stuff that never belonged. But you want to pay money for counseling and you've got a bottle of oil called olive in your house. You need to take that olive oil, go around your room and stop making fun of your child and rebuke that spirit that's trying to control your child and claim your house back for Jesus. But I'm so tired. I'm so lonely. It's so difficult. Everything I see on Facebook is so depressing. I'm just watching on Instagram and everybody gets to take vacation but me. Like, oh my God. Like I've been clicking my heels saying there's no place like home. Can't find home. Don't know where home is. But you got on armor? Uh-huh. And you supposed to be in my fatigue?
Come on, man.
And we have been trained for this? And when opportunity comes, you don't fight? You cry? Have you ever had somebody, brother, that they talk a good game until it's time to show up? Let me see them. What they say to you, when they coming? As soon as they come, I'm going to let them have it. And then they come. Girl, I'll be back. I got to go to work. I forgot to tell you that part. That's what a lot of us do in the spirit. Show me a devil. Show me cancer. Show me what it is. I'm going to rebuke it. And then it comes. Doctor, how long? How long they say I got? This ain't about you. It's about who you're sitting beside. That was the nature of the scene. They were trained to do something that they weren't doing. But the father who ignored his son now gave assignment to a son. This is what's interesting, Daisy. Pastor Daisy. What is so interesting is that he said, I don't think you're good enough to fight, but I do think you're good enough to serve. If I was in girlfriend, I would run. He says, you ain't good enough to fight, but I see you as a servant. Isn't it dangerous when people categorize you? I don't think you're good enough for that, but I think you're good enough for this. So he said, they fight for a living, but you go serve the fighters. You go serve because you are under them, but you go serve them. So David, all David does is show up to serve. That's all David does. He doesn't show up to fight. He hadn't been trained in war. He just shows up to serve. That's all he does. That's the third time he's been given this opportunity to just show up to do something he wasn't even trying to do. He showed up to serve, and when he got there, he sees the scene. He says, something on this picture don't make sense. He says, Sister Alice, I see Goliath. I know that's opposition. I see you, and I see soldiers, but I don't see no fight right here. I'm confused why I see that fighter, and I see you who fight. But I don't see no fights. So he goes there with his thing to serve. And he says, what's going on? What's happening? And they say, well, it's big. Well, he's intimidating. Well, he talks loud. Well, we don't think we can do it. He says, what would be done for the person who deals with that? What will be done for the person who knows how to deal with that? And the Bible says that even his brother shows up, Ebony. His brother shows up and says, so what you doing here? You trying to show us up again? Which means he has a little resentment. He has a little resentment because he wasn't chosen the first time. You'll find out what's in somebody soon enough. and you don't need liquid courage to find it out. You listen to them long enough, and you let them talk long enough, and you'll find out what they feel about you soon enough. Just keep on talking, and that's why you have to be careful who you talk about and who you talk to them about. Because of, you say, who'd you say? Who'd you say? What were you talking about? Oh, I was just talking about Allison. I was just saying something about Allison. What'd you say about her? You know she's my cousin. Oh. I was just saying she's a good person. I know ain't what she was saying. Keep that same energy. What you were just saying, keep that same energy. Eliab had some resentment. He was upset. Can y'all give me 5 more minutes? I'm done. He said, I was upset, but I never told you I was upset until you showed up again. Some of y'all, your anointing irritates people because you keep showing up. And you ain't doing nothing but showing up. You ain't trying to show them up. You just keep showing up. Showed up. He said, what are you doing? He said, I just came to find out what's going on. Fast forward. He looks at Goliath, and then they try to put some old armor on him. I'm not giving none of my points today. Like, I gave y'all some nice, pretty points. I mean, they were beautiful. Weren't they good? They were so nice, and I ain't doing none of them. Praise the Lord. Whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But they do. They asked me for my notes, and I gave it to them, and I ain't using none of them. I'm sorry, Monique. I apologize. Y'all did so much work. Give them a hand. They did so much work. It ain't that type of Sunday. I'm so sorry. But anyhow, so it says that they went there, and it says that they, and I'm talking about the Bible. I'm not talking about Netflix. I'm talking about the Bible. All of y'all who thought I was, like, what show is this? The Bible? Yeah, so here it is. It says that they went, and it says that David, they tried to put some old armor on him. Try to put on them. This is what's so interesting. How are you going to put armor on me that don't even work for you? You're going to put armor on me, but it don't work for you. So how are you going to put that on me and expect it to work for me? Because obviously it ain't working for y'all. So David said, respectfully, I'm going to use what I know. Tell somebody, use what you know. He said, I mean, it might not be shiny. It might not be like what you're used to, but I'm familiar with it. He said, I've killed lions. He said, I've killed bears. He said, you ain't seen it, but I've done it. And I'm just going to use what? Give me some sling. Give me that sling. Give me these 5 smooth. I'm just going to use what I know. And the Bible says, I'm through here. He said, the Bible says that he sees Goliath, and Goliath tries to taunt him too. He says, you going to bring me somebody who ain't got no armor? You going to bring me somebody who ain't even been raised in church? You going to bring me somebody who don't even know what to do? You going to bring me somebody who don't even speak in tongues? You going to bring me somebody who don't even know scripture? You going to bring me somebody who ain't even called? You going to bring me somebody who don't know what an altar call is? You going to bring me somebody who still smells like weed? You going to bring me somebody who's got molestation in their life? You going to bring me somebody who's confused on their sexual identity? You going to bring me somebody with pink hair? You going to bring me somebody with tattoos on their body? You won't disrespect me and bring me somebody who ain't even a fighter? Is that what we doing here? Bringing me unchurched people? Is that what type of church we got, unchurched people? What we going to do with that? When it's time for offering, what we going to do? How are we going to build buildings with people who ain't redeemed? How are we going to reach a city and cause a place of refuge for people who don't even know church? You going to bring me people like that, and we going to fight stuff with people who ain't never fought before? David said, you come to me with words, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I ain't got no words for you, but I got the Lord with me. Will you high five somebody? Say, I got God. I got God. Come on, Erica Cameron. You don't love God? I love God. I mean, I got God. I ain't got a lot. I ain't got a lot of words. I don't look like much. You won't know nobody in my family. I ain't a son of a preacher man. I ain't no missionary. I ain't no evangelist. I don't even want to be in church, matter of fact. But I got God. And for some reason, every time I try to give up, God keeps bringing me up. He keeps raising me up. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Tell somebody, I got God. That's all I got. Got nothing else but God. I ain't got no check. I got God. I ain't got a nice job, But I got God. And if I got God, I can go through this. If I got God, I can handle this. Some of y'all can't handle nothing because you ain't got God. But if you got God, you can say, me and him, we going to be all right. Come on, Kendrick Lamar, we going to be all right. Tell somebody, we going to be all right. So he runs. He said, you got a loud mouth, but I got God. God fights for me. This is how I fight my battles. Just got God. I ain't got no resume. Just got God. That's all I got. He runs towards him. And this is the part here. He runs towards him, Pastor Gil. And when he gets towards Goliath, all he does while he's running, some of y'all hadn't even started running towards opposition yet. Some of you, all you do is talk about it, but you don't run towards it. If you're going to knock a Goliath out, you got to start running in that direction. Some of y'all won't even start running towards it. What is running towards it? Dealing with it.
That's it. That's it.
But deal with it. Come here. Sit down. But deal with it. All you want. Come on. There it is. Deal with it. Come on, one more time. Deal with it. What I'm saying is, all I'm doing is giving her calories. But deliverance comes when you deal with it. Your miracle, come on one more time. Your miracle's not in my hands. It's in yours. Stop giving me so much power. When you got your own sling, you got your own rocks, you got your own story, you got your own things you've overcome. Come on, Moses, what's in your hand? Use what you already got. Lay hands on me for what? I'm laying hands on you for you to come here real quick. Come on. You gonna lay hands on me? Only for me to roll around on the floor, to put on a show, and to get back up, and to go back in the same stuff that you just laid hands on me for. Why am I laying hands on you for you to do a show for us and then go back and sleep with the same devil you just got delivered from? Some of y'all's necks are like... David ran towards Goliath, and the Bible says that when he didn't take many swings, he took one swing and landed right in the forehead of Goliath. Now this is the part you don't know, and I'm gonna give it here. Someone say, "Give it to me." I looked up something because I like to look up stuff. I found out we say that Goliath died. Carrington, you're a researcher, you would appreciate this. It says that the Goliath died when he got struck. That's not what the Bible says. That's what y'all do. That's what, not y'all, person beside you. He took one sling and David and Goliath died. Wrong. It said Goliath fell face forward. He wasn't dead yet. He slung, he hit, he fell. He slung, he hit, he fell. But he wasn't dead. I looked up about Goliath, Nia. Thank you for asking me. I said, why did Goliath not see the stone coming? Somebody as big as him, it says, historians say he was like 7 feet tall. How could he not see a little stone coming towards him? Well, I looked up something. This ain't even mine. I looked up something, and it said, I don't know who it is. Give me armor that ain't mine. Lord, what type of church is this? My God. They call Angel when I go home. Like, what type of church? What Daisy did to me. God. Call Mom and Dorothy like the devil. No, I'm just playing. So I went, I was like, whose rag is this? Anyhow, no, I'm just playing. Not bad. He slunk. He hit. He fell. I looked up. Kareem Deaconess, one of our deaconesses here, it says, Goliath suffered from an autosomal dominant inheritance, which meant that he had a pituitary gland tumor. He had a pituitary, and I might be saying it wrong, a gland tumor. The symptoms of this tumor are headaches, vision problems. I probably messed the word up. Who cares? Y'all didn't know it anyway. Unexplained tiredness, mood changes, irritability, unexplained changes in menstrual cycles, erectile dysfunction, infertility. All of these things were in his life to the point that it had messed with his vision. Well, not only did he not have a chromosome that caused him to be larger than he was supposed to be, he also had vision impairment. So all of the things that were going on in his life prevented him from even seeing what was coming towards him. Let me tell you something. You get to run towards that enemy, and he ain't even going to see it coming. Do somebody say, he ain't going to see it coming. He ain't even going to see it coming. Tell somebody, y'all told the wrong person. Because if you told the right person, they would start shouting. Tell me, he ain't going to see it coming. He looks bigger than he is, but he can't see nothing. There's some of y'all who dating blind people. And you need to run towards that thing and say, I'm walking out. I can't do it no more. But you ain't going to see it coming. Tell that devil, you ain't going to see it. He didn't see it. Goliath, he didn't even see it coming. So he fell. But Sister Nedra, I know you wanted me to quit. I'm through. He fell. You were saying it in your heart. You didn't say it out your mouth. He fell. But if he wasn't dead, what did he do? It says he fell, but David didn't stop running. Some of y'all stop running too fast. Some of you make posts too quick. He fell, but he wasn't dead. So David kept running. And when he got to Goliath, he grabbed his head and cut it off. He said, I got to get ahead of this. I got to make sure that this thing don't come back. I gotta make sure that I might fight something else, but I ain't gonna fight this no more. I might go through something again, but I ain't gonna go through this no more. I gotta get ahead of this so that it don't come back. Tell somebody, get ahead of it. Get ahead of it. I'm gonna cut this thing off so that it don't ever come back again.
That's good.
Cut his head off. Last thing, he cut his head off. I ain't use none of that. Cut his head off. The Bible says he took the head and he took it back into the city. But this part, the Bible says, but he put Goliath's armor in his tent. Don't miss that part. He took the head back into the city, but put his armor in his tent. Some victories I celebrate privately. Some things I bring publicly. Some things I have to show you. I ain't as weak as you think I am. Sometimes I just gotta let you know I do know how to get ahead of some things. Try me if you want. I cut heads for a living. But he went back and put his armor in his tent, so that it didn't remind him that when you face another trial, look at that thing and remember, if you did it before, you can do it again. Might be a different giant, might be a different thing, but look at that thing and realize what you can do. Tell somebody, I can do some stuff. This is the reason why the Lord gave me this word for y'all. And obviously, it was more word than points. There are some words that the Lord gives me that are more prophetic, more for the house than cute. There are sometimes he gives me lecture type of things. But today, I asked the Lord why he gave me this word for y'all. And while I was preparing last night, I asked the Lord, what are you saying to this church? Y'all are in year 14. And year 14 means salvation and deliverance. You're going to walk into your greatest deliverance when you learn how to get ahead of some stuff. Some of y'all been prophesied to more than you can remember. And you still haven't cut the head off of that thing yet. Pastors have prayed for you, labored for you, served, sacrificed, and you still dealing with the same Goliath? Still fighting the same thing? And you got it? I'm not telling you to use what you don't have. I'm telling you to use what you already got. He said it's the year of deliverance and salvation, not the year of altar calls. Not the year of prophetic summits. It's the year for you to put something in your hand and cut that thing off. I apologize. I'm still being delivered. Cut it off. You do me a favor. Look at somebody like you're going to hit them and say, cut it off. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this, and I'm through, because I'm going to say this. I'm over time. But hear this. You don't hear this word that I'm getting ready to say in church anymore. You're on your way to hell if you don't cut that off. You're playing with hell. You're playing with demons that you don't know nothing about. You are in danger zone. Goliath is not to be played with. Goliath knows what he's doing. Do you know what you're doing? Goliath's been trained. The Bible says this, that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Like, he's got you. He's looking for you. Are you looking for him? And I want to pray for everybody right now who you just need to cut it off. If you are bold enough to just stand to your feet, I don't want you to come up here. I just want you to stand to your feet as I'm ready to cut it off. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just cutting off. I'm cutting it off. I'm not talking about it. And for some of you not staying, it's fine. There are sometimes I'm not ready. Cutting it off is scary. Why is it scary? Because that means you got to update what you talk about. When all you've talked about is the enemy and the opposition and the trials, and you finally get victory in that, you got to start talking differently. You can't keep saying, oh, you didn't kill it. You cut it off. Don't talk about it no more. He cut the head off to say, even though I remember it, it can't get me no more. When you get delivered and when you really walk in that thing, it don't have you no more. It can't hold you no more. You might see its body, but it don't have a head. It has no head. It has no ability to think. It has no ability to do anything anymore. So I want you right now, lift your hands all over the room. This doesn't have to be spooky, but it's got to be real. It's got to be real. And for the next few moments, while they play this beautiful Hillsong music, what I want you to do, I want you to tell God what you've been afraid to cut. If you're beside somebody who can't be trusted with what you say, don't say it too loud. Because some people are waiting to use what you say against you. But if you trust your atmosphere enough, tell the truth and say, God, help me cut that off. I want real deliverance, not temporary deliverance. I want real deliverance. You've given me what I need. This word came from me today. Didn't know I needed it, but I'm ready to cut some stuff off. All right? For the next few moments, just go ahead and start talking to God. Go ahead. Say what it is. I don't care what it is. Just say, I'm cutting that off. If you got a whole long list of stuff, say a whole bunch of stuff. I'm cutting that off. I didn't say cut people off. Cut it off. Whatever it is associated with, cut it off. I'm getting ahead of it. I'm cutting it off. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are your people, not mine, your people. Father, everything that you've given them, everything you've given them ability to do, give them the power, give them the courage, give them the ability to cut a thing off so they might experience true victory. And as this church is walking into their 14th year, let this be the year of greater testimonies, the years of people who finally had the courage to cut some stuff off so that they can experience true victory, not temporary, not seasonal, but real victory that lasts. May they cut it off for your glory. May they cut it off. Come on. I want some volume in this room. Come on. Say, I'm cutting some stuff off. I'm cutting it off. Come on. I'm cutting it off. Come on. I'm cutting some stuff off. Come on. Come on. Come on. It should be loud. I'm cutting some stuff off. I'm not timid about it. I ain't sad about it. I ain't scared about it. I'm cutting it off. 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 I'm getting ahead of this. Cutting it off. Cutting it off. Cutting it off. Will you do me a favor? Will you cut that music for a moment, please? Just for a moment. Now that we've done that, I want you to do me a favor now. Transition that thing to praise and say, God, thank you for victory. Thank you for victory that I have in you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you for victory. I got victory. I got victory over that. Come on. Just declare that. I got victory over that. Those things you just listed, now say, I got victory over that. I got victory over it. I got victory over it. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Clap your hands. Give them the greatest praise you can give them. Happy anniversary, church. I cut it off. I cut it off.
Hallelujah. Wasn't that an awesome word? Come on, put your hands together again.